Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reaching out to us and saving us by your grace, Lord. And as we ponder upon your holy word right now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit teach us and challenge us in seeking the lost. Speak to us through your living word. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. There is a story about a taxi driver and a minister who passed away on the same day, and they reached at the pearly gates of heaven. Saint Peter welcomed both of them, and first he led the taxi driver to a huge mansion. It had everything inside: a big theater, a swimming pool, a personal golf course. And then Saint Peter turned to this minister, and then he led the minister to a small rundown cabin. Inside was a creaky bunk bed and an old black and white TV. The minister was really frustrated. He was really shocked. He said, "Hang on, isn't there a mistake? I was a minister and I prayed and I spent my whole life preaching the gospel. Why does this taxi driver get better reward?" And Saint Peter said, "Up here, we look at results, you know. During your sermons, people slept, and when the taxi driver drove the car, everyone prayed." We often assume that we know what deserves recognition or celebration. We assume we know what matters most. But what if heaven celebrates different things from what we celebrate here on earth? What if you could visit heaven today? And I'm sure some of you would like to postpone that trip. But then, what if you could visit heaven today? What would you find them celebrating? Is it a miracle? Is it great healing or revival meetings? Is it creation of galaxies? Well, Jesus gives us a surprising answer. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, over one lost person who is found, over one ordinary life that is transformed by God's grace. And if that is what matters to God, then it should also matter to us as well. The story begins in an ordinary home with this ordinary woman finding a lost coin. The woman loses one coin out of 10. Now, some might say, "This is not a big disaster. Come on, you have still got 9. Move on." But she does not. Why? Because what is lost, it remains still valuable. The coin has not lost its worth just because it is lost. Think about a family visiting a shopping center. If they have 3 children and one goes missing, they don't say, "Well, we have still got 2. Let's go home." No. They will try their best to find the missing child. Or think about a wedding ring that slips off a finger. No one would say, "Oh, just leave it. We have got another jewelry at home." Rather, they would turn the house upside down and probably dig up half the garden to find the ring. Because something valuable has been lost. And because it is precious, we cannot afford to lose it. In the same way, every person matters to God. Every person bears God's image. And that is the reason that Jesus Christ came to save every person. That's why heaven celebrates when one lost person repents. May it be one student, one neighbor, one family member, one colleague, anyone whose life has been transformed by the grace of God. But the emphasis of the story is not simply the value of the lost coin. The story also tells us about seeking the efforts, seeking because something valuable has been lost. What matters is the woman's actions because she values the coin, and that leads us to see the heart of God. Notice the woman's response here. Notice her efforts. She lights the lamp, she sweeps the entire house, and she searches carefully. There is urgency in her response. There is effort and persistence. She does not sit back and forget about the coin. She does not simply hope that eventually she is going to find the coin. No, she takes the action. She keeps going until the coin is found. In the same way, when God seeks the sinners, it reveals the potential and the value that God sees in different people. God did not look at a lost world and he walked away. No. He did not say they have made their own choice, let them bear its consequences. No. Instead, he came looking for us. From the very beginning, right from the Garden of Eden, God has been the seeking God. Even Jesus declared that he came to seek and save the lost. The cross itself is the proof how much lost people matter to God. So God is not being passive towards lost people. Rather, he comes to them, he seeks them, he moves toward them, and he pursues them. A person may feel forgotten, rejected, or beyond hope, but God does not see them as lost people. Rather, God sees them as created in his own image. God sees them as someone he created, someone he loves, and someone he desires to restore. Friends, let us be reminded of this truth today, that you are created in God's image and you are very precious to God. The woman was searching for the lost coin because it was her own. And in the same way, the lost coin helps us to remember that our value is not determined by our conditions. Even if we are lost, God does not forget us and he never forsakes us. God comes seeking us because we bear the image and identity of God. We are his very own. I want to ask you, if God is so eager to seek and save the lost, who are the people in your life that God is calling you not to give up on? Whose name comes to your mind when you hear the word lost? Is there someone for whom you might have stopped praying for? And what if God cares about that person far more than you even realize? Friends, Jesus wants his disciples to see the lost people just as he sees them. If your phone falls in water, you would probably try hours recovering it. Not because it's made of glass and metal, but because the value you put on what's inside the phone. The woman's actions show us what is God's heart for the lost people. And that takes us to an active and intentional search. The question for us is simple. If heaven rejoices over one lost person who has been found, what does it look like for us to join God's mission, to join God's search? Or let me put it in another way. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to join God in his mission. But sometimes, why can't we act? Many Christians, they care about lost people. It's good. But the challenge comes from moving from concern to action. The woman did not simply care, but she tried to search the coin. Too often, we wait for opportunities to come to us, isn't it? We hope someone else will raise their hand. We hope someone else will initiate the conversation. But a mature discipleship is also about intentionally seeking people. There's an old story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Many opportunities are just missed because everybody assumes that somebody else will take the lead. So the question for us is, what will be our next step? How can we try reaching out to people and seeking them? Think about who is your friend that you could invite to church next Sunday? Who could you invite to All Saints' birthday? Is there someone to whom you can gift a Christian book to encourage them in faith or send a link of Christian podcast? Who could you invite to Alpha or to do Christianity Explained with them? Who could you include around your dinner table this week? Now, even while we participate in seeking the lost, the good news is that people are actually never lost to God. God knows exactly where they are. God knows their stories. God knows their struggles and their questions. And long before even we think about reaching to lost people, God is already at work. God has already gone ahead of us. We are not alone. And He graciously invites us to participate in His search. And this is the heart of God. Next year, we are thinking to host some evangelism training, especially for people who want to develop their skill and grow in their faith. So if you are interested, please let us know. So the question for us is not simply, do I care? The question is, what am I doing because I care? God does not call every believer to preach to thousands, but God does call every believer to participate in His mission, in His search. Friends, the question is not whether we are called. The question is, are we ready to respond? The question is, will we answer His call? Eventually, the woman finds the coin. And immediately the search becomes a celebration. She calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me." Here, Jesus emphasizes the joy of finding. And this is exactly what heaven does. Because God delights in redemption. God delights when lost people are found. God delights when sinners come home. Think about the story of a prodigal son. He thought after going home, he might receive a rebuke. Instead, he received a ring, a robe, and a feast, because what was lost had been found. This is what causes joy in heaven. Not popularity, not achievements, not our religious works, but repentance. A heart turning back to God. Someone receiving new life. The angels rejoice because repentance changes everything. For someone, death becomes life. Someone comes from darkness into light. Separation becomes reconciliation. And the lost are brought home. Friends, the angels know what is at stake. They see the eternal significance of things which might appear small or insignificant on earth. A simple prayer, a humble confession, a surrendered heart. This may sometimes seem ordinary to us, but heaven sees them as miracles of grace. Imagine two headlines appearing on the same day. One announces a record-breaking business deal, and the other announces someone who repents and turns to Christ. Most of the world would celebrate the first headline. The second headline would not even make it to papers. But the heavens are not impressed by what impresses the world. Heaven celebrates the repentance. That is what brings joy to God's heart. As we come to the end of this passage, Jesus opens a window into heaven and allows us to see what brings joy there. One sinner who repents, someone who turns to Christ. The question for us is this: how can we join the party? Perhaps for some of us, joining the party means taking some concrete steps towards someone who is lost. Perhaps for others, it means celebrating when someone turns to Christ and helping him by mentoring him and nurturing the person in the faith. And perhaps for some here today, the question is even personal. Could it be that you are the one whom God is seeking? Could it be that today is your day to turn to him? Because the good news of Luke 15 is that God is still seeking the lost. And when the lost are found, heaven rejoices. So let us be people who care about what heaven cares about. Let us join God's mission. Let us join God's search. And let us live in such a way that will give thousands of reasons to heaven for rejoicing over the repentance of one lost person. Amen.